Morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Always intrigues me how different parts of a service complement each other sometimes. The songs and the different thoughts that are shared. That the songs that were picked last night ended up going quite well with our service here today, I think. I'd like to talk this morning a bit about delayed blessing. We live in, we sometimes call it an age of instant gratification. Sometimes we marvel at the fixation of people on their instant gratification, and maybe more recently we lament our inability to receive it. But the fact is that as humans, when we decide we want something, we don't like to wait. By nature, we're not very patient. It's hard to wait. And oftentimes it's not just something that we want, but something that we need or feel we need. Maybe it's something that someone else needs that we're waiting for. Maybe it's something good and noble, something right, maybe even something that we feel God has asked us to do. Maybe it's a new church building, because we know we won't all fit in here once we're allowed to all gather together again. Turn with me to John chapter 11. This is the story of the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. I think there's some lessons for us we can learn from this account. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go with him, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her to her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Wherefore, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. It's a very interesting story, say a very touching story in many ways. I think there's a lot that we can learn from this account here in Jesus' interaction with the people that he knew and loved. It says that he was close friends with these three, and we would have thought that it would be a natural inclination for him to go provide healing for his friend. And yet when he got word that he was sick, what did he say? Well, or what did he do? Well, they stayed for another 2 days where he was. He waited instead of immediately taking action. Mary and Martha had probably summoned doctors as well to try to help Lazarus. It seemed they were well known. They likely had good connections. Seemed they had resources. They probably could afford good doctors. But they also knew who Jesus was and what he could do, what he had done for many others, for those that were strangers to him that weren't even necessarily close friends. So they wanted him to come because they knew what he could do for them. But Jesus delayed. It must have been very hard for them to wait, trying to make sense of his delay, fearing that it would next thing be too late, and then realizing that it was too late. This was a real hardship for them. I think something that we can relate to in our human experience, possibly. But they had even though it was a critical few days, and there was a difference between life and death, it was a relatively short wait. It was just a few days until the resurrection here. But sometimes we have to wait months or years. Maybe it's a lifetime and we never do see how God is going to work. So how do we survive? How do we cope? How do we wait in a way that will bring glory to him? Well, I think one thing we can remember, one encouragement we can take from these verses is that God gives hard assignments to those he loves. The Bible is full of many hard experiences that faithful men have faced. History is full of faithful men, faithful people that lived hard lives. Many faithful people have experienced much, say, spiritual darkness and confusion as to how God is working. Even Jesus on the cross, he felt forsaken by God in his suffering. And maybe we feel that what we're experiencing is preventing us from doing what we want to do for the Lord, or maybe even what he called us to do. But the reality may be that in our hardship, he is working in our lives. He's working in our hearts and revealing a greater demonstration of his glory than what we thought he was, or than what we realized. Another thing I think we can learn from these verses too is that God's delays always serve his eternal purpose. It can be easy to interpret his delays as unloving when he may actually be working in our lives in ways that we don't understand. Having a heavenward vision, even when it doesn't make sense, is important to trying to make sense of God's delays. The opposite of a heavenward vision, an earthly vision, just brings us into temptation. We see Eve, Genesis 3:6, she saw the tree, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and fell into temptation and sinned. We have the account of Lot in Genesis 13. He beheld the well-watered plains of Jordan and moved there to the downfall of his family. It was not a time of spiritual growth for him. Achan, Joshua 7:21, he says he saw the goodly garments, the gold and the silver, and was tempted by them. And we know the result of that. Even Jesus in Matthew 4:8 was tempted by the devil. It says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory therein. However, Jesus did not succumb to that temptation. But if we can maintain that eternal vision, there's lots of examples of that too in the Bible. We have Joseph, the story of him in Egypt. He was one that suffered much wrong, we could say, much hardship. And yet when presented with temptation, he says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He was not blinded by his earthly vision, but maintained a heavenly vision and lived victorious. Stephen in Acts 7, verse 55, it says, "He being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw Jesus at the right hand of God." That was while he was being stoned. He was waiting for his coming blessing. And also Jesus, John 17, verse 1, it says, just going to turn there here. It was when he was praying before his trial and crucifixion. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." It was his heavenly vision that gave him strength. Martha also had a heavenly vision in these verses. She told Jesus she knows that Lazarus will rise again in the verse 24 here, in the resurrection at the last day. But I don't think she, obviously she didn't believe that he would be raised again right at this point, because all she expected to come out of the grave was the stench from his death. But it's that heavenly vision that helps keep our focus where it belongs. We don't fall into despair. Another point of encouragement is God wants to increase our understanding of who He is. I ran across a quote again recently here by Albert Einstein that had me thinking again. He said, "As our circle of knowledge expands, so does the circumference of darkness surrounding it." And that's very true in say the physical world or a secular knowledge. The more you learn about something, especially if it's a technical thing or a more advanced study in something, the more you realize you don't know much about it. The more you learn, the greater that whole circumference of your knowledge becomes, the greater that circumference is, and it shows how much we don't know. Until we start learning, we don't even know what we don't know. And I think that can apply to spiritual knowledge as well. The more we learn about God and who He is, the more we realize we have a lot more to learn. And I think Jesus wanted to show them here more of who He was. They knew Jesus as a friend, as the Christ. Martha stated that quite plainly. She was well aware of His purpose here on earth. And yet He wanted to show Himself as the one with power over life and death. Sometimes making us wait, He makes us wait to show us more of Him. Another interesting thought, I used to think that this verse, Jesus wept here, was because He was sad at losing a friend. But He wasn't weeping because Lazarus had died. He knew He was going to raise him again shortly. He hadn't lost this earthly friend. He was weeping, I think, because he felt the pain and the hardship that his friends were experiencing through this. He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, that God was going to give him the power to do that, and yet he wept because he felt their pain and their suffering, their broken hearts. Just shows how deeply He does care about what we feel, even though He may make us wait, and that waiting may be hard, may bring much hardship to us. Another thing I think we can learn from this is that God allows the shattering of our expectations, our dreams, to create a greater desire for His glory. Verse 15 here, John 11:15, it sounds pretty harsh. It says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there." They wanted Him there to provide healing, and He says, "I'm glad I wasn't there." Seems kind of harsh until we know the end of the story. It was for their good. I think the other thing we can learn through that as well is that the greatest thing here was not the resurrection of Lazarus. It wasn't his restoration of his life, but it was that the belief was increased, the belief of many believed on Jesus because of this. And I had to think, do I worship God because of who He is, for who He is? Or is it for what He can do for me? God is a God of righteousness and holiness, and He wants to display that in our lives and to us. And I think it's very important that we worship Him for who He is, even when our perspective makes it hard to see that goodness. There's a Puritan quote that says, "Blessedness does not lie so much in receiving good from and in Him, but in holding forth God's glory and virtue." And that runs counter to sometimes the way we want to view God, that He's doing everything for our good, and He is for our eternal good. But sometimes what's our eternal good is not comfortable or easy. And it's important, I think, to remember this quote: blessedness does not lie so much in receiving good from and in him, but in holding forth God's glory and virtue. Some verses in Isaiah 25 I'd like to read yet. Turn to Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Down to verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. In verse 8 and 9, yet he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Verses full of promise and assurance in what God can do and will do. There's many places in the scripture where we are told to lift up our eyes, or we're told, there's reference made to those that did. That verse we read in John 17 said Jesus lifted up his eyes, and I think that's something very important for us to remember, to take our gaze off the commotion around us, all the noise, the distractions. There's so much that's vying for our attention. We can look at all the broken things around us, maybe our broken dreams, maybe the failure of others, maybe the savageness of humanity, but that's just going to drag us down. Instead, let's focus on him who holds heaven and earth in his hands. And let's allow him to do that to our heart, to allow him to hold our heart even when it means a long wait. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that even though sometimes you delay blessings and we have to wait, and we see no end in sight, or we can't see any good in it, but just thank you that you are righteous and holy, and that you do not make mistakes, and that you will glorify your name in all the earth. Thank you for the word that you have blessed us with, and the many promises therein, and the stories of faithful men who waited. Some of them never did see the blessings in this life, but didn't get to experience that till they were in eternity. Help us to just lift up our eyes unto you, and to look beyond all the commotion around us, the distraction, and just focus on you and your goodness, and remember that it's not all about us, it's not what we want, but it's whatever your will is. And just help us to use these experiences to be able to show your goodness to others, to be able to bring blessing to everyone around us, that the lives that we touch may be inspired, that others may be pointed to you, and that they could just see you in our lives. Just pray that you would be near to those that are here and those that are listening. Just grant each one a blessing, and pray that you would be near to each of us throughout the week as we face our daily experience. Just make yourself real to each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.